I just had something supernaturally happen to me. Hallelujah. The entire book of Hebrews went through me like a flash, like lightning. And I got the mind of the book. Never even seen it that way before. How many of you ever had yourself in a trance momentarily and had something flash before you? I never had it like this. I asked the Lord, should I prophesy it? He said, you'll prophesy it. But now I got to go back and look at the scriptures again differently. It was just like the book of 1 John. I see it so different. The book of James. But I never seen the book of Hebrews the way I'd seen just a moment ago. Man. You know, you hang around a book long enough, you're going to get the mind of God on it. Hallelujah. Now I just got to keep my focus this morning of what the Lord had put on my heart to share with you. I can do it. I'm just still reeling from what I'd seen. Whew. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I need to settle down. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Boy, you guys bring the presence of God in. You're the culprits. Hallelujah. That prophetic utterance that had come forth from both of them sparked that thing in me. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to get calmed down here a little bit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, I tell you, 4. Yeah, okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we now commit ourselves to your Spirit and the Word. Father, as I speak today, may man not look at it as a man speaking, but that which the Holy Spirit has ordained to be said. So that, Father, we can receive and understand and grow thereby. And so help me this morning convey or communicate clearly to people that will help them so much in their natural life as well as their spiritual, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I've been putting together a little bit at a time every morning, the Lord told me to share with you about how to grow and develop naturally as well as spiritually. And those that are watching by TV, if you would like, you can write in, and as soon as I finish this series, you can ask for it. We'll have it on CD form for you. And I will be finishing it pretty soon. So feel free to call or write in. Our listening audience has been responding pretty good to this particular series. And so I want to make it available to those that are watching by television to get this series if you can. Praise God. This morning, we're going to get back into how to succeed in life naturally and spiritually. We brought out 6 points. The 6 points, number one, is the Holy Spirit has to be your mentor. It cannot just be my mentor. He has to be your mentor. We've already covered that area. Number two, God starts by developing a new way of life in us. Not to repair the old life or patch it up, but get us to come to the reality that we are birthed into a new and entirely different kingdom than what we're accustomed to living in. That's why a lot of Christians cannot grow and develop spiritually, is because they haven't learned how to let the old life go. You're not to know anything after that life anymore. You're to refocus and put your attention on the life that is now ahead of you. And that life begins now, not in eternity. And number three, we covered the areas of self-examination of our heart. It's not within us to know anything about ourselves. It's almost next to impossible. And we've shown you scriptures that are very clear that a fallen man's nature is not capable of healing itself. And men cannot heal other men. It has to be God working in the hearts of men to bring the healing. And that's why David was so successful in his walk with God, because it said that he knew God after he was a man after God's own heart. And until we get to that place where we want the heart of God in us, we'll always remain in a state of ignorance. Now, there's been a lot of distractions, a lot of cares that have entered into the church. More from the realm of our natural life than our spiritual. And so, we have to get to a place in our life, eventually, where we acknowledge the fact that we're as a little child in the kingdom of God. And we have to begin fresh with our Heavenly Father. And then, point number four, which we're going to touch on today, is that we have to know how to walk before God and men. It's not enough for us to walk and please the Lord, but God gets into our life in such a way that we not only please the Father, but we also please those that are around us. So our walk is very important with mankind as well as with God. And that's something that challenges you more than any other area of these 6 points, challenges you than any other area, is the fact that you are responsible how you walk before the saved and the unsaved. Thank God we know how to do that now. And point number five, that we have to understand authority and live within the parameters of authority, natural authority and godly authority. And then the last point is that we need to prepare for not only natural retirement, but we need to prepare for eternal retirement from this planet. Just as you leave a natural inheritance to those that are here, you must also take with you an inheritance that will never fade for eternity. And a lot of believers don't understand that part. They get focused on the one, they can't get focused on the other because of the power in money. There is a power to money. And so today, point number four, we're going to cover the importance of knowing how to walk before God and man. Now, I could put it this way. We walk before God, but we realize that God gets into our heart to where we also walk before men. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is just finishing up what he'd previously said in chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Notice this. To every man's conscience. Now the word commending is an important word in this verse. It literally says to stand before men in an example. That's what that word means, commending ourselves. To stand before men in an example to their conscience for them to follow what you believe. Now, if I had not stepped on your toes yet, then there's something wrong with you because I have worn my shoes to pieces. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, actually the thoughts of them which believe Lot, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, I want you to get a hold of this, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, notice this, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Notice verse 10. After saying all that, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Might be made manifest. Might be made manifest. Those of you who are watching by TV, I want you to get this. Might be made manifest in our body. Now notice what he goes on to say. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Something is grabbing my spirit. And this is what I've got in my spirit. You are a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have raised yourself to great renown or fame. You're watching my program right now. And as you're watching it, the Lord told me to tell you that you need to observe the message that I am presenting today. Because as a minister of the gospel, you are being very frustrated. Because the more that you minister, the more light is coming to you. And you don't know how to handle this one fact of how to walk out the fullness of your salvation in your body, because you are living two lives. And the Lord would have me to tell you today that there is no problem in repenting. Because I'm not asking you to expose everything in your life that is not of Him. I'm just asking you to remove it so that I can preserve your ministry. Because the hidden things of darkness will surface. And I am giving you a message this morning as you watch on, in such a way that if you grab the understanding of this, you'll purify your heart and your ministry will continue its course without any hitch whatsoever, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Knowing how to walk before God and men is so important. It requires a death to begin to operate in our life. It requires a death, but many believers don't understand that death. It's not martyrism that he's referring to here. But what he's talking about is putting to death things that have entered into our soul and have taken root. Because the writer himself, Paul, was very, very specific when he said, always bearing about in the body. In the body, the dying of the Lord, or the putting to death of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I want you to turn over right now to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And the minister that is watching this program, you turn with us and follow us through here. In Luke chapter 13, at verse 18, then said he unto, what is the kingdom of God like? What is it like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And what he's referring to there is the spirit of a man, the soul of a man, and the body of a man. Three measures of meal. In other words, the kingdom of God will take full measure in all three areas. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. Thank God Jesus did something about our spiritual condition. But our soul and our body has to be our responsibility. Now, with that in mind, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I've seen men, and I've seen ministers, really begin to flourish. I read about their history, and I see that they begin to flourish, and they begin to have success in their life. And then all of a sudden, the hidden things of darkness comes to light. And it destroys everything that they had purposed in their heart to do for the Lord. And God is in every one of us as individuals and as ministers to succeed in this world and that which is to come. Amen. So I want you to notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And may the very God of peace purify you complete and entire. The spirit and the soul and the body be preserved without fault unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I actually read it out of the Greek for the purpose of the total effectiveness is what the writer is trying to profess here. And first of all, he's talking about the return of the Lord when he comes for the church. And you find that in chapter 4. But when he gets into chapter 5, he begins to bring about some understanding of how to remain steadfast unto the coming of the Lord. And he brings out this three measures of meal again that Jesus spoke of right here that I pray that God preserve. Preserve you blameless. Notice this. Sanctify you wholly and be preserved blameless without fault unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. And he tells us very specifically, because in the Greek language it has the article before the word spirit, before the word soul, and before the word body. And when it has the article before it, it is being very specific, that he wants you complete in your spirit, and in your soul, and in your physical body. But how can that be? Because he's not saying your body will inherit the kingdom of God. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that he wants death working in us, not physical death. He wants something else working in us called death, and that is our soul. Well, how can soul be at work as death in us? Well, let's look at this verse again in 1 Thessalonians 23. And may the very God of peace purify you completely. Where? In the spirit, in the soul, and notice this, in the body. Why? To be preserved blameless. So he's saying he wants you complete in all three areas so that you're preserved blamelessly. Now here's where confusion really gets in. Is this word that is not understood by the church as a whole? And guess what word it is? It is the word preserved. Preserved blameless. Preserved blameless. This is a very interesting word because if you look it up in your understanding of words through the Greek language, it literally means to watch over, to guard over, to be fully focused on. And so what he's literally saying is that the Lord of peace. Now, why did he even bring up the issue of peace? Because God wants every one of us in a state that he's in called peace. Every one of us in a state of peace. But now, in order for this to be accomplished, he has to purify us completely. He doesn't purify just one part. He has to purify all three parts. Full three measures in the meal. God's got to have all three areas of your life. Are you guys getting this? He doesn't want just your spirit, because that was what he graced you with. He completed you spiritually, but it's up to you for your soul and body to come in line. Now notice what he said. He said, I want you to preserve yourself so that you'll be without fault. Or I want you to guard over. I want you to watch over yourself. I want you to stay fully focused on all three of those areas in your life. Amen. I've seen great men of God in the natural attain to some great heights, but how they were not preserved for the presence of God, because they had to stand before the Lord after their death to give an account what part of them failed at being purified. Men coughs up doctrine to cover their sin, but God's word removes it. But if you don't learn to discover yourself, you'll never take the next step of preserving yourself before men and God. Most of us, I was raised in church, well aware of some Christians more committed to God than I was, because it seemed like their whole life was in order. I used to compare myself with others, and I found out that's not where wisdom begins. Because a lot of times in that comparing, I get the wrong analogy of myself. I'm believing somebody's Mr. Righteous, and I'm Mr. Low Dirt. And I found out they're in a worse condition than I was. Because I was going more by what I saw than what I knew. God knows your heart, minister. He knows it. And so do you. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Notice what he says here. Preserved. It means to perform watchfully as a guard over your life. And most of us don't do that. We try to get the Word of God to fit into our thinking rather than our life fitting into the Word of God. Yeah. Are you following me? And we got to learn to stop doing that. Yeah. We've got to find a way to have time for God rather than finding a way to let life have time, because it's trying to cut in on you and God. Now that we've covered that part, let's go to Proverbs 20, verse 27. And hold your place there in 2 Corinthians 4, because we're going right back to it. Proverbs 20, 27. Notice what it says here. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It would have been better translated lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. In other words, the totality, really, of his being. So God uses the spirit of man to do what? To bring light. Because it's a lamp. And a lamp has no value until it's lit. So he's saying there, the spirit of man is like a lamp. That's a part of you that God is going to light. So that you can see things very clearly. Now with that in mind, many of us don't know where the spirit of man is lit. We don't understand where it's lit. And so that's what I want to try to get across to you today. Because in the God's ability to light you, to bring light to you, then you'll walk before men in credibility. You won't handle the Word of God deceitfully. And I'm going to tell you something. How you handle the Word of God deceitfully is not by you thinking that you're going to use the gospel to get something out of somebody. It's literally meaning that you'll agree with the gospel and yet turn around and don't perform it. And that is handling God's Word deceitfully, because the deceitfulness he's referring to here is before men. Boy, it really deals with your actions of how you deal with people. Saved or unsaved alike. How you deal with... If you claim something, you got to remember, you're either going to make a good testimony out of it, or you're going to make him a liar. That's why 1 John is so powerful that way. You can claim one thing, but how do you live before another? Now notice this. In Go back to 2 Corinthians 4. And we're going to share a couple of things with you, and then we'll probably have to shut down because I don't want to put too much into this. I want you to absorb this. Notice he said very, very clearly that by manifestation of the truth, we stand before men an example. That says commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Their conscience in the sight of God. Now, I've learned that not everyone's going to understand you as a believer. You know, that's obvious. Mainly because many of us still miss the mark. Oh, my gosh. We do. Yeah. I'd rather miss the mark in ignorance, because then that keeps God's grace on me to show me where I missed the mark. But if I willingly miss the mark after knowing the truth, then I've entered into what the Bible clearly defines as rebellion. You know, you're not labeled by God as a rebellious person until the will of God is made known over your life. And then if you don't perform it, you're in a state of rebellion. See, and a lot of people don't understand the state of being in rebellion. Well, it puts an indictment on you of no protection from God. You see. But I want you to notice some things here about this death. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we had this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he goes in this trouble all over his side. But he goes in and says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So something has to die in us so that something is amplified in us. Something has to die on the inside of us in order for something to manifest out of us. And it goes back to the same place, body. 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 Say it with me. Body. Put your finger in your right here. My body. I hate it when it does things naturally. I love it when my spirit has control of it. Now, I want you to notice something here. He says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Look at verse 12 here. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. You know what he's saying? Because I put to death something in me, then something's coming out of me. And in this case, it's the kingdom of God. Did you know until you put to death something on the inside of you, then what's in there that's of God can't shine out through you? Because he makes the point, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but I got news for you. Just because you have that treasure on the inside of you doesn't mean that it'll come out. Because the way it comes out is through deeds, examples, actions, mouth. Yes, my lips are sore too. God stepped on them. But I want to impact you with some understanding here about this death. Notice the next verse, 13. We having the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. Paul made a declaration. He says, I have this same spirit of faith in me. According to a declaration of a quote out of an Old Testament psalm. Very interesting. You know what I'm taking you through? This is what God took me through. Join the club. Join the club. We ought to have badges. Tormenting club. Called suffering. Now notice this. He makes a quote because he has this same spirit of faith. According to what was written. What was written? I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. This is a quote from Psalms 116, written by none other than little David himself. So let's go there. And let's look at Psalms 116, because he says he has this same spirit about him. And so the writer went to this particular psalm and give reference to it. Look at verse 10. Because it's a quote from 2 Corinthians 4. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. It's very interesting. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? But notice he said it in haste. What in haste? About all men being liars. He said that in haste. You know why he even comes down to that place right there in this psalm? I'll tell you why. Because that verse is a pivotal point of what God was able to do to set that man free. What was it? The Lord was able to deliver his soul out of death. Because the whole psalm is about a man's soul being set free from a salvation that is so great over his soul. He hastily judged men as liars, but it was before he got his soul set free. Now, you know, this is the one we use at funerals. I quit using it at funeral because it's not meant for funerals. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious. Costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Oh, I wish that was physical. Oh, I wish that was physical. But the writer is referring to the soul being delivered of its death. That, in the sight of God, is very valuable to Him, because He can remove death from a soul that is so vulnerable to the onslaughts that come against it in life. That's what that verse is referring to. Not costly or precious is the physical death of a saint. Costly or precious in the sight of God is when a saint can look at the salvation that God has provided for his soul and receive it and be free from it. Then life will come out of him. But he has to put death in him first. Are you guys getting this? I'll tell you what God thinks about your carnal thinking. He doesn't give a darn about it. If it speaks against the knowledge of God. But if God is able to get into your soul and get it to where something dies in that thing that can't let life come out of it, that's what God's interested in. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah again. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said it don't no matter what condition we get into. It don't matter what kind of hell we go through. I have this spirit of faith about me that I will not be taken out, because my soul is set free from all those things that could destroy me. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. When I was studying this, some lines came out of other parts of the Bible, and I didn't understand these lines. I'm talking about connections. Shoo, shoo, shoo. All these connections from what I was sharing with you this morning. And in the prophecy, one of them, they said something that I got caught up in the spirit, and I lost you guys. And I was standing in this place where all these scriptures with all these lines and connections come together like this. Called the book of Hebrews. And it blew me away. Now I know that book from verse 1 all the way through to the last verse of that book. Because of the mind. Now, I don't understand all the scriptures, but when I saw this thing come together, then I began to realize what I'm preaching to you today. You cannot be life for any man. You can't give man life until death sets in your way of thinking, in your way of doing, and it's converted into God's way of thinking and God's way of doing. Because in Psalms 116, what does he say before he even gets to that verse that says, precious in the sight of the Lord? Look up to verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And you know what cup he's referring to? The cup that carries the blood. And people look at the blood as some physical thing, but it has a spiritual meaning to it. It's just a type. He's saying the reason the blood can cleanse you is because life is found in the giving of the blood. I have been spurned by God. I'm born again. His life is in me because it was the blood of God that spurned me. And that life will cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Glory to God. Whew. But I got a problem. It called soul problem. Like that song, I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. Ching, ching, dee, 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 dee. Every time I hear that song, yes! That's it. Idiots still singing. Now, in closing, here's what I want you to get out of all this that I said. Before you can walk before men in honesty and integrity, I got news for you. Not all men are perfect. Nor women. Some of you men, you had a thank you. Thank you. Little soul deliverance here. I want you to get this. I understand Hebrews 12 more than I've ever understood it before. Least a root of bitterness come up in you. I never understood the stripes of Jesus until I understood 1 Peter 2:24. I looked at it always physical healing, and it'll work. But really what he was referring to is mental healing. Every one of us need our soul delivered. And the way that it has to be delivered is something has to be put to death in it, so that something can be put back in it for life to come out of it. Your soul is what amplifies the Lord. I know I hate to tell you that, but I have the same problem. I'm not perfect. But did you know that whenever I create an offense in my life for you, that I take a whip and I put a scar on your heart? No, your soul. That scar is a root that turns to bitterness. Woe unto the world, for offenses must come. Wouldn't it be nice if the world was offense-free? The world can be offense-free to you. Yes. If you're willing to let the offenses go. That's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes those offenses are so justified. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because people trespass our lives. But when God dealt in my heart a year ago, because all of you did me damage, God delivered me from my worst enemy, not from you. You know what He did? When He delivered me from my worst enemy, He threw me right in the midst of you guys. Isn't that weird? Somebody says, you know what so-and-so did? Oh, wow. We'll work with it. Do you have any idea how this has to be brought to judgment? Yeah, I really do. Well, don't you care? I care. Well, what are you going to do about it? I don't have the mind of Christ on it right now, but I'm just going to go someplace where I can find peace, and He'll give me His wisdom to deal with it. Thank you. Aren't you offended by it? No. Why not? Because something on the inside of me doesn't bring an offense to me no more. No root of bitterness can spring up anymore. Why? Because they're not striking me in my soul any longer. I've learned how to remove the whip. How? Get off of myself and learn how to give of myself to them back, regardless of their mistakes. Well, you just can't let things go. I didn't say I was going to let things go. I'm just saying I'm in a state of peace where the wisdom of God now can operate in my heart so that I can do the right thing and not do it out of emotion, angry, envy, strife, bitterness. I can do it out of a peaceful mind, discerning the true judgments of God, and I will get His mind to help that person not turn to hate them because of the mistakes they made. You know, no man can destroy you when you've removed their ability to whip you in your soul. Your heart goes out to mankind. Needless to say, I'm growing right along with you. Just recently, I come to some revelation that was not somebody else's strike. It was God speaking to my example that I wasn't doing. And you know, people, you know what? That hurts. It hurts. But you know what God wants out of your hurt? He wants you an example of the Lord in your life to win their soul. Over in the Old Testament it says, blessed are they. They're wise when they win at the soul. He wasn't referring to doing salvation or witnessing. He was referring to getting to a place with God that you can captivate their soul to desire the same thing you have. Not do witnessing. Religious people witness. Religious people go door to door. But a man who has learned how to put death into his soul so that the life of Christ can come out. Whew. What a cost in the sight of God. Precious, costly. Means that God honors you above everything else because you're willing to put death aside by your own hurts. They're no longer there to give of yourself back out to somebody else. I love Tammy so much. Love you so much, Tammy. She came to me in all truth and honor, and she reamed me out up one side and down the other. But I'm going to tell you something. She's a woman of integrity. And I knew exactly what she was saying, but I didn't know what to do with it because I was on the other side of this fence. So during the weekend, I was troubled in my spirit. I didn't see a way that I could repair the things that are there as truth. That were so right on, weren't they, Tammy? They were right on what you were saying. I knew how to handle it, but Tammy didn't. But I have to walk with her. I have to minister with her. She's a part of my life. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, only you can help me in this situation. And come Monday, she cornered me and got me in the room. She began to weep. She said, Pastor, will you forgive me? I was wrong. She began to cry. And a big heaviness lifted off me. It was my whole world came back into focus. Because she put an area of grace back in my life that I needed. She says, now it doesn't even bother. She knows what I'm talking about, don't you, Tammy? They don't have the full impact, but I do. I went home and I shared that with Sue. And Sue said, that's someone that will walk with you forever. That's someone that the devil cannot kill, rob, steal, or destroy from your life. Now, it doesn't make what you said right, does it, Tammy? That still has to be corrected. But it doesn't matter now because she's free from it. See, a lot of us can't get our soul delivered because we take and attach our soul to so many other persons' imperfections that we don't know how to keep them from becoming tentacles in a tumor that could grow in us. You know, I was watching this TV show in Stopping, I saw them operate on a tumor. I can't stand some of them shows. But they cut this skin open and they revealed this tumor. And you know how the doctors, I never knew how they removed a tumor till I saw this program. He went in there and he was talking as he was operating and he started removing all these tentacles. And he was saying that every tentacle has to be removed. And then the doctor would look under whatever he looked at to see. He had to see that whole tentacle was complete when he pulled it out. And it didn't look like it came out very easy. Because he had these little tweezers or something. He was pulling on that thing. Then you'd see it come out. He said, if I look at a tentacle and I see that any part of that tentacle is broken off, he said, we have to go into that area and remove even the broken piece. Because if it's not removed, it'll grow again. And this was a fibrous tumor. And so they kept pulling on these tentacles. And after, it looked like a hideous mess. They can tell, I can't, you know, because it looked like a lot of blood to me. But they could tell every tentacle. And you know what happened? When they got all the tentacles out, he just went, boop, picked it out of them. And there's this tumor with all these tentacles. And that's what God says about our heart, our soul. Our soul is so vulnerable that whenever somebody does us wrong or offends us in any way, or we take an offense for what they do, we have grown a tentacle in us. And that tumor will begin to grow in us till it either robs, kills, steals, or destroy. And that's why the Lord told me that a lot of times Christians can't get healings because their tumor has grown so big in them that the tentacles has now got into their physical being health-wise. So, in order for Paul to make a clarity to us about this light that has to shine out of us, there's only one place the kingdom of God will shine out through you, your physical body, and that is your soul. Beautiful hair. Did you guys get something here today? I wish I had time to preach the whole book of Hebrews to you, but I got to look at all the verses and connect them all. But did you get something here today? Stand up, everybody. I want to do something a little different today. First of all, if there be anybody here, anybody that is here that has never received Jesus as a personal Savior, we want to minister to you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, you have a soul that has been so struck, so beat upon, that a lot of times you don't know how to get free from it. And I'll tell you, to get born again, born from above, is the major step. Amen. We have altar ministers up front here that will minister to you. So if you can say, well, I've never really said the sinner's prayer, maybe it's time for me to make a commitment, we want to give you the opportunity to make the commitment for salvation this morning. The new birth, you must be born again. And number two, if you're here this morning and have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then what I'd like to do is have our altar ministers lay hands on you until a manifestation of speaking in tongues is present. That is the sign of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, come forward. Praise God. Anybody else? Salvation, the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Here, sweetheart. Feel free to come forward. Anybody? You can just this way, sweetheart. You don't have to look at them. This is an important thing to you, isn't it, sweetheart? Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray, and then you're going to go with this lovely lady right behind you, and she's going to minister to you. Father, I thank you for this little one. I thank you so much for your Spirit moving on her heart. And as we release her, Father, to that wonderful altar minister, Father, we believe that she is going to be blessed and receive what she has need of in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go, honey. Just go with her. Praise God. You know what? I didn't reach out who's out of fellowship with God because I want to do something this morning. We'll close the service in just a minute, but here's what I'd like. Would it be all right if as many of you as possible would like to come forward and just kneel at the altar and talk to the Lord? Maybe there's something that you need to deal in your heart. You don't know. We don't need to know. But we know that Jesus, when you kneel before Him, He can talk and He can speak. Amen? Give Him that opportunity this morning. Because, you know, when I was young in the Lord and attended my first church, we had an altar call. And you know, I crave those times at the altar. Donna, you and I remember them real well, don't we? And so this morning, when I dismiss us, I don't want you to talk to people. I don't want you to talk. If you know you need to talk to Jesus because there's some things that you got to get rid of in your heart, or maybe you want to pray for somebody or stand in for somebody, I don't know. But whatever it is that's unsettled in your spirit, you know, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I feel the presence of the Lord. And He's here to talk with you. Amen. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for these wonderful people. But Father, when we have issues in our soul that are not settled, maybe that's a lot of times where we're physically sick, is because the roots of that thing has gotten into our physical body. Whatever it is, Father, I pray that as Your people come forward, those that feel that they have need to, that come forward, Father, may Your Spirit meet them in a wonderful way and talk to them in Jesus' name. Amen.